It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, each and every weekday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. here on the RBN Network and from freedomsphoenix.com studios. Now, we have a gentleman on the line. He wants to talk about Alan Stang and his passing this last weekend. And I think, you know, it's a short segment here. We'll get into the rest of the show in just a little bit. I want to give, you know, some of Alan's fans and listeners an opportunity to say goodbye. Let's go ahead and go to George in Texas. Go ahead, George.
All right. Good morning, Mr. Hancock. I know you very well, and I think you'll fill Alan's shoes pretty well.
Thank you.
And the thing is, but you're always going to be one Mr. Hancock. You're always going to be one Mr. Stang. And the thing is, I just hope that we can make Obama produce his birth certificate, because I know Mr. Stang, Alan Stang, was very big on producing his birth certificate. And I think it's up to us to finish what he started.
You know, we're going to have a show on that, I'm sure, as time goes on. One of the things that was very interesting to me was a gentleman that refused to deploy to Iraq, saying that I don't consider him my commander-in-chief. He's not qualified. Oh, yeah. Well, here comes the big jackboot of the Pentagon is coming down, going to make sure you know what's what. And all of a sudden they go, you know, maybe we'll just change your orders because we don't want to deal with this one. So I think it's getting interesting. The thing is I'm going to be of a little bit different mindset, is that I don't care if he was legitimate. He's still not my ruler. You know, can I not have a ruler? So you kind of, when you get into the qualifications of someone to rule you, you kind of miss the point. You're conceding that they're going to rule you. So I'm just going, I don't even get to that point. I don't care what paperwork he has. But I understand your point. I think it's a very interesting subject, and it needs to get aired, and we'll be certain to get, you know, the professionals that have been arguing that on. I've had them on the air before. We've discussed this. But, you know, this is a new twist, I think, with the military not willing to go after one of theirs asking this question. So I think that's of interest.
I just got one more comment. You know, Alan Stang, I think, planted the seeds of patriotism, liberty, and freedom for decades, and you know, it's bearing its fruit. And it's sad that he's not going to see it come to its full fruition.
You know, that's Keith knew who Alan Stang was pretty well. What memories you have of Alan?
Well, he wrote a book called Tax Scam way back 15, 18 years ago, and I got my hands on it at that time, and I was just starting to learn about a bunch of this garbage anyway. And he was a great writer and a fun writer, and he just talked about how this whole IRS thing was a scam, and how all those funds are going to the same Federal Reserve, the same as when you're paying a mortgage. All this money is going to nowhere for money that does not exist and interest that does not exist.
You know, we had we do a lot of sign painting here, banners and stuff, you know, like from the Revolution and other stuff that we do. And there was a sign that said, "The Fed did it." And it had an arrow pointing down and a dollar sign on it. The Fed did it. What'd they do? I don't know, but whatever it was, they did it. Okay, so you go, some of the women, we were taking videotape because we had a bunch of women that were doing this, and it just so happened there's like seven women there making signs. I go, ooh, got to get videotape of this. And there was a woman, she has a talk show host here in the Valley, she has a talk show here in the Valley, and I go to Renee, I go, "The Fed did it, what'd they do?" She goes, "They printed money and bought gold with it." And I go, wow, if that doesn't sum it up.
All our gold, they bought it all, or dang near all of it.
Just got right to it. You know, so we're going to be talking about that some more when we come back and introduce you to my wife. She has something to share with you, too. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and friends in just a little bit.
Roads, It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Yeah, we're back here at FreedomsPhoenix.com Studios in Phoenix, Arizona on the Declare Your Independence Show with me, Ernest Hancock, having some fun rocking out. Now, you know, Jet's got some great music that we're just going to keep adding. He keeps adding to it and adding to it. We're getting dozens. I mean, it's going to be supplying all the radio shows out of here. And Jet, Mr. Jet Lacy, you're going to be hearing him on the radio. He's getting it all prepared. It's going to be irreverent. It's going to be exactly what you expect from Freedom's Phoenix, the unexpected. You know, we're going to be able to have some fun because, you know, once you just go on, you know, you just do archives on the internet and everything, you can pretty much do whatever you want. I have to be nice here. Hello. We're nice. And we have somebody else nice that people have gotten to know during this revolution and started to realize something. My wife does everything. You know, they know this. They're like, wow, it must be nice to have a life secretary. Somebody just went your every whim. You need something done cheap, boom. And, you know, contact, you know, they need something sent. They need something done. They need to, you know, get communicate with me because, they, you know, I'm busy on my phone or what. They call my wife, Donna. And all of a sudden, as time goes on, they started to realize, oh, you ain't nothing without her. Well, I knew that. And she sure as heck knew it. And say hi, Donna.
Good morning, everybody.
Now, the one thing I wanted to bring her in, a lot of what we do is also, you always need somebody to penetrate, you know, the you first. So a lot of times we're first. You know, you do it. I mean, this is a great idea. Somebody should do that. And then we just start and do it and talk about it. And then a lot of other people do it. You know, that's where you have some influence. And it's just a lot of times they're just so busy. They don't have the time to do the research. And what, you know, we just start a little bit at a time over the years and we'll do something. And one thing we did is we got chickens. And we started a garden in the backyard. And we wanted to find out just how difficult this was. A couple of friends of ours and I, we went to a chicken raising thing downtown, you know, some farmer market. Talk a little bit about that, what you learned, Donna.
We went to the Phoenix Permaculture meeting, and we learned just a little bit about chickens, about really they're not that hard to take care of. They're pretty friendly. They're ergonomic. I mean, you can use their...
waste.
Their waste, their droppings for manure and stuff, and you get eggs from them. So they're very they're friendly, and it's just a really good thing to have, especially when you need to have fresh organic food. You know what goes into their body, and you know what comes out of it. So it's we've really enjoyed it. We started with 12. We had three roosters we got rid of, and we had three go away from the heat, but we still have six left, and we get 4, 5, 6 eggs a day. So, and we share them with our friends, and it's encouraged them to. I actually was probably one of the later ones to get the chickens, but we do share them with some people in the studio here, and they really enjoy them. And I think it's a really, it's just a very simple, very good thing to do.
We have some friends that, kind of, you know, encouraged us to do it, and we did it. And then a bunch of us, kind of about the same time, is how fast could we get the chickens, and we did it probably. November, December?
We got them December 5th when they were a day old, and they started laying eggs about when they were about 4 months old, and made a big deal of it on Freedom's Phoenix, wrote a story and everything.
Our first egg.
I was very shocked. It was probably one of the number one stories. And so, you know, you share that with other people and you talk about it. We have our own chicken stories and stuff, but I've learned quite a bit just from having them. I don't like really observing. I just wanted to, it was just one day I knew I needed to do it. I went down and got them, and we sort of just went from there.
Well, one thing that we did, another thing that we started to do is there's things you can do with eggs. You can make mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise, yes. It's it doesn't last very long, but it's good. It is a little time-consuming to make, but it's kind of nice knowing what goes in there. It's a good source of protein, and it's got, you can make it with olive oil, so it's good.
Yeah, you know, this is one thing. When you do this and you make it yourself, you don't put all the preservatives in it, it only lasts probably a good week. So you only just make it, you know, like one egg one, you know, a little bit probably last, you know, well, our family with all the kids and everybody over, it'll last about a week. But, you know, you get a little jar. I would say it's probably about 8 ounces. So it's probably more than you need. But what happens is when you do it, all you're doing is you're beating the egg, I think a little lemon juice and olive oil. You know, I prefer to get the olive oil, and you put it in. So when you put this spread on your sandwich, what are you getting? Olive oil and egg? Well, heck, you know, IV me up. You know, I mean, how bad can it be? But it's all this other crap that's in it that's, you know, I've got worries about. Now, our garden, we started that here. I tell you, once it hits 110, you know, 105, you just kiss that garden goodbye. You know, it's time to till it in. And we get a lot of growing season here in Arizona, but where most people are getting, you know, a lot of their production out of their garden, that's when we're not. You know, the radiation just beats the snot out of it. And you can do coverings and so on that we do in the winter, and we could work at it a little bit more and probably preserve more food coming out of it. But our real goal has been to test, to see what produces the most goodies. And what have you found out?
Well, number one, it tastes a lot better. And the fact that you're actually growing it yourself, you can actually let it ripen on the vine. And that's where I think the true nutrients come from. I remember, I'm in my late 40s, I'm not afraid to say, but I remember when everybody had gardens. And I remember what things taste like back then. And things today that you buy, even organic foods and fresh foods like that at the store, don't taste nearly as good as what you grow in your own garden. So that's the major thing right there, was to produce our own food. We incorporate it into our diet, and we feel a lot better. So taste and the fact that you're doing it yourself, what I've learned, I mean, there's certain things that grow better at certain times of the year. I've had good luck with tomatoes and lettuce and beans and things like that. A little bit harder time with corn. So it's just a trial and error thing, but I think it is time consuming. I will say that. So if you have to leave town, you've got to have somebody tend it and weed it and water it and everything like that. But it can still, what I did as far as out here, we have the sun just beats down on it, like Ernest said, and it's really hard to get things to grow well in this deep summer. But what I found is you can get these cheap beach umbrellas and you put them up over your things, so they get shaded part of the day and sun part of the day, and it's kind of a good relief for them. As long as you keep them watered, they'll produce.
And we tried these hanging tomato things. At first, that was a really good idea. You know, I'm to have them hang from the eave of our house, have these 3-4 of these hanging tomatoes, and they're right there and so on. Let me tell you what happens to them. One, the ultraviolet radiation here just beats the crap out of these coverings that they have, so they just disintegrate within 2 years. You know, now aside from that, we learn to cover that with aluminum foil so that you know can protect them and they'll last longer. But it's so dry here, it only works during the cooler months. So that's something that we'll learn. I like it. I think it's cool that it's right there, you know, hanging. It's at eye level. You can just pick them off and you can graze. And I do that a lot. I'm a grazer. You know, I just go out and, you know, and talking to friends and so on. We're just hanging. We just walk through the garden and start picking stuff to eat. And all of a sudden, this is what I found out. When you get good nutrition, you're not hungry. You know, it was such, it's like a switch. You want a diet pill? Go walk in the garden. I mean, you know, it's so different, our life and our health. And, you know, and I'm working on, you know, focusing on this more and exercising more. I feel more energy, lose weight. You know, we started the radio show, kind of messed up the schedule a little bit, and we'll get back to it. And it's 115 billion degrees. But, you know, we're learning a lot. And I wanted to make sure that you were encouraged, because here in Arizona, we have a longer growing season. Heck, when everybody else is shut down, we're going. But, you know, it is such a input into the quality of your life and your health. And I think that when we start seeing laws about supplements, like they're doing in Europe, they want to control what you get. And I'm going, why? And where do they start controlling on the garden? So another thing that they have, they call it square foot gardening. Tell us a little bit about that.
I'm not as familiar about that, but it's more of a thing where you can, it's a little more compartmentalized, where you can put things in boxes and move them around, and just, you could put them on your patio. If you live in an apartment or something and just have a little patio or something like that, you can just put little things, you know.
Maybe one little square, and you can just have a couple of bushes and so on. I had a friend of mine, he had a raised bed garden, and he surrounded it with cinder blocks. So the cinder blocks have these little holes in it. So each one of those holes, he's growing a little something, you know. And what I wanted to do is, we're probably, as it starts to cool down a little bit, I'm going to start doing a little bit of square foot gardening in our front yard. And encourage our neighbors to come through as we're going into the greatest depression, you know, that have like a little pathway. It starts on one end of the yard as they walk along a sidewalk and goes into our yard a little bit, and then comes out by the driveway, to encourage them to walk through and help me tend it. take a tomato. I don't care. You know, what do I care? You know, I'm using water for grass, or I do that. And so I'm trying to encourage people to see how easy it is, and they have some fun. And people of the older generation already do it. We have some older couples on our street that do that already, but they really complex in their gardening for adornment. You know, it's the flowers. Now, if I can start to convert that into, we actually have some nice, colorful, you know, what do they call it? Tequila Sunrise chili peppers a friend of ours brought over. Man, those are nice looking peppers. Heck, they're just attractive. They're almost like a flower.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the kind of thing that I wanted to encourage you guys to do. We've had really, really good luck with it. And this chicken thing, I am a big fan. And we live in downtown Phoenix. So this is, they're quiet enough, as long as you get rid of the roosters, man. As soon as they start cuckoo, a half a second later, they're gone. Take them back to feeding. I don't care what you want to do them, but they're not doing it waking me up. I mean, dang. So you get rid of them. The rest of it is fine. They come running up to you like dogs. You walk out the back door, man, they're all over, man. You got something for me to eat. You know, so you get a little self-esteem boost there. And it's really easy, and I encourage you guys to do it, because all of this fighting for your freedom, you know, it doesn't do you a bit of good if you're dying from poor health. And, you know, and I think your best defense against all of this fear that they're doing for your want to compromise your immune system by putting more crap in you. Actually, the government sticking a needle in your body, flooding you with Lord knows what. And, you know, I say what? You know, go plant a garden. That's what you need to do. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, in just a little bit.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Yeah, here we are, rocking you like a hurricane. And Declare Your Independence of me, Ernest Hancock, here from the beautiful downtown Phoenix studios of freedomsphoenix.com on the RBN Network. See, I got it all in there. Yeah, and what we're doing here in this segment, well, next segment, what we're going to do is we're going to have Mike Maresco. He's a liberty rider that's going across the country. Now, he walked across country before. Now he's riding a bike. And his whole thing is honesty. I mean, let's just get down to it, because what happened when they did the MEAC report and they said, you got a bumper sticker on there that shows that you kind of against the man? Well, you know, that's probable cause. We need to pull you over and see what you got there. You're against the man person. You know, you're not, you know, Zeke Heiling us. You're not clicking your heels loud enough. You know, are you a goose stepper? You're not. Well, we're going to stop and ask you some questions because we love you. Oh, I went on the lake yesterday. The man found me. I got to tell you this story. I was going to tell you a story. This is a story. As my wife sits there, looks at me, and goes, well, I haven't heard this story yet. This is what happened. My sons bought these two used boats, okay? Well, one my sons have, and the other one of their good friends got. As the greatest depression comes, people are starting to liquidate their stuff. And you'll have an old boat that's, you know, it's 15, 20 years old, and it's got, you know, this little thing, and we need to spend $200 on this, $100 on that, and I just not, you know, it's just, you know, like an old car, you're just going to be spending all your time on it. Well, if it floats and it's got an engine that runs, you know, then, you know, if you're a teenager, gimme, 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 gimme. Well, they're in their early 20s, same thing. Well, what happened was they went ahead, found these two boats, and we work on them, fix them, change a little disc, clean the carburetor, all of a sudden, boom, they're rocking and rolling and whatnot. You know, we're ready to go out and have some fun. So we go out on the lake, and me and a friend of mine got one of them running, and we take that, and they go in the other one. And they're like 16, 18-footer, just little speedboats, okay? And they're not big fancy or anything. $1,500 you get these with trailer and everything. All this stuff, tubes, here, take it. And we're going, really? Okay, well, they got good jobs. They wanted to, all right, fine. You're boat owners now. You know, for that amount of money, I guess, you know, we can stand it. So we go out. They're taking off first, and I got the other one zipping around, and I go and I jump their wake, okay? So in my little 16.5-footer Sea Ray, I got air. These little jet skis ain't got nothing on me. I got air. Yeehaw. Woo, 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 woo. Here comes the sheriff. You know, and he goes, do you know why I pulled you over? Can the ticket say it was because I got air? You put the, it's worth whatever it is. Just say he got air, you know? So we had a good time. They didn't. It's like they had a bunch of stuff. I didn't have, this one square. You got life preservers and everything, but you're supposed to have this square thing, like a life preserver you throw out, you know, so somebody can just grab or something. And the square, that one thing I didn't have. Had everything else, didn't have that, okay? So they're going, well, where's your little square thing? And they called it something. I go, I don't even know what it was. And I go, don't have that. You have to have that? Oh, yeah, all boats over 16 feet, you know, have to have this. Aha. Well, how long is my boat? Well, let's look at the registration. 16 feet, 6 inches. Oh, you're killing me. You know, it's just, this is the way it goes. The man found me. Now, the thing is that if I take the class, I go and I say, oh, I'll take a class in boat safety, which I needed to do anyway. I don't have a problem with that. The problem is that, you know, it's $25 and they'll dismiss everything. And I remember this is how it used to start when you were doing cars. You know, all of a sudden, then it becomes, you know, retired cops, you know, doing these classes and it's mandatory and they get you on the speed cameras. And then cameras are going to start hitting the lake. They're going to be surveilling everybody from these mountaintops that around because we're in canyons. You know, here it's there's always some place they can have lookout anywhere and they can do violations remotely. And you need to send out the guy. You know, this is what's coming. I guarantee. It. What's the date today? We are in towards the end of July. We are July 20th, 2009. This show is archived. You go back. There was somebody put up on Freedom's Phoenix, the bottom of Freedom's Phoenix, is a show I did in 2003 talking about the financial condition of Arizona and California and what was going to happen. This was 6 years ago. I was on the air with Nick Gillespie, the publisher or the senior editor of Reason Magazine. And we were talking about this very thing. Somebody happened to put that up, and I saw it, and I listened to it a little bit, and I go, oh, I see why they put it up. We predicted all this 6 years ago. We're going, look, it's math. It's not that complicated. And when you're looking at this kind of patrolling the behavior socially and economically, engineering people, even their recreation, they're not bothering anybody. You know, it wasn't, you know, I jumped awake. You know, you're being reckless or whatever it was. And I'm going, okay, you know, can you put on there that I got air? Then we're all good. You can do whatever you want to me as long as I got air. So you make light of it. I mean, you fight certain battles, you know, and this is probably not a battle I'm going to throw my sword on, but it's, you know, it's the principle of the thing. When do you start going, it's, you know, unreasonable or cruel and unusual punishment? You know, it's $25 now. What happens when it's $2,500? You know, is it $250? Is that when the line is? You know, that's what's happened to automobiles. So, you know, you think it's going to be any different here? They're like, oh, man, we need to see some revenue possibilities over here. Then you'll start, instead of having one boat kind of patrols and so on, they're just lackadaisical and chilling out. You know, then you're going to start having it where they're really, really, really going to be all over your case and take your money because it's another opportunity. The way it works. Well, we'll talk about some more. We got the Liberty writer, Mike Oresco, coming on when we come back. We'll be back in just a little bit on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. Now, we got a really good guest coming in. I know we had you on the line. I tell you what, we're going to go ahead, and it's a short 5-minute segment here. What we're going to do is we're going to go to The phones. No, this one's a little bit longer. Well, we'll go ahead and go to the phones and take your calls real quick and then get right to them, because I apologize. We're blowing you guys off there, but we've got so much stuff to do, and I want to make sure I get to it. So let's go ahead and go to Michael. Michael, we got you?
Yes, we do, sir.
Michael, go ahead, man. Make it quick. I apologize for – we'll get you more time in the future, but I didn't want to leave you hanging there. Go ahead, man.
Well, I'm at your service, sir. I'm out here on the side of the road on Route 95A between Yerlington and Silver Springs. I'm about 30 miles out of...
Oh, this is Michael Maresco.
That's who it is.
Oh, man, we're right to you, man. We got callers. Jeff, Don, I apologize. George, you guys, I if you want to hold there and we got time later, we'll get to you, because Michael is the person I wanted to get to. Now, this is what... Let's go ahead and... I'll let Thomas introduce you, seeing as how he rode across Arizona with you. So, you know, we'll give him the pleasure of introducing Michael Maresco. Go ahead, Thomas.
Well, thanks a lot, Ernie. Yeah, I had the distinct pleasure of riding across Arizona and into Nevada with Michael Maresco, about 400 plus miles, and being able to distribute packets of information to people along the way and sharing the cause of liberty to all those people and the sheriffs along the way, who were able to find out more about how the sheriff is the supreme law enforcement officer in the state, and he can throw the federal government out of the state if he so desires, and also to be able to share with those people that we interacted with about solutions that we can use to be able to enlighten our leaders, that we are watching them and we're not going to continue at this path of destruction that they're leading us down.
And what role did Michael play in this? Where did he come from?
Well, I can just Michael has been riding from Liberty Island, and he's going all the way to Alcatraz. I didn't quite have the ability to ride the whole way, but when I found out he was going to be riding across Arizona and coincidentally coordinating with the Kokesh Revolution in Santa Fe, I said, hey, there's no choice, but I got to do this to get with him.
Well, you know, and Thomas, man, he was so pumped up about this for weeks. Man, this is the big deal. And then Ed Vallejo, also head of the Ron Paul meetups back in the day here, and has a lot of other things he does. He has his own edition on Freedom's Phoenix called The Revolution Continues, and there are special editions. He cheated. He had a motor on his bicycle. Cheater. You know, so he did that. They had some fun, and they had an RV that kind of, you know, would leapfrog you and just make sure you had water and stuff. Because I got to ask you, Michael, one, I want, in your words, tell me what prompted this, why you're doing this, and then we'll get into how you're freaking surviving in Nevada desert in 115 degree weather. You're killing me, man. It's killing you. But go ahead and tell me what your motivation is for doing this.
Well, my motivation started with the MIAC report. The DHS reports that they started out calling if you had a Ron Paul bumper sticker or if you didn't agree with the corrupt politician's party line, then you were a potential terrorist. Now, that was, you know, that's understandable. I mean, we're part of the Ron Paul revolution. We've been slandered before and we'll be slandered again. I can handle that. It was when they came out with the report that said that returning military veterans were potential terrorists that was the final straw for me. I mean, I am not a supporter of this war. I'm not a supporter of the war on terror. I think it's a canard. I think people who use terror all the time are like the person that's crying fire in a crowded theater. But I certainly support the troops, and just, you know, watching the hypocrisy of all these guys wearing their flags and walking around saying support the troops, support the troops, support the troops, and getting elected on that bull. And then turning around and authorizing these reports that then slander the troops that they sent over there to further their illegal aims, it completely outraged me. So at about the same time, Sheriff Mack's book was the revolution was becoming aware of Sheriff Mack's book, and there was discussion about how we should get that book to every sheriff in the county. I mean, in the country. So I decided to mix the two together, and I slapped a bunch of Ron Paul bumper stickers on my trailer. I slapped a Don't Tread on Me flag, which was another key for the MIAC report. If you have a Don't Tread on Me, you're a potential terrorist. So I put all of those symbols on my bike, and I started pedaling from the Statue of Liberty to Alcatraz. symbolically peddling from freedom to fascism. It's a great line to use with people that I walk up to or that I run into on the road. They wonder what I'm doing, and I explain what and where and why, and they all, you know, after a second or two, they say, you know, I got to agree with you.
You know, you've
so
been
that helps.
You've been active in making sure that Sheriff Mack's book gets passed out to sheriffs along the way. Are you stopping at every sheriff's place in each county or something? I mean, how are you distributing? Because I've seen on YouTube a bunch of videos people have done when you come to their community, and they'll go with you, and you go in, you'll talk to a deputy or the sheriff or try to make an appointment. You know, tell us how that works.
Well, yeah, the original idea was that I was going to peddle. I'm peddling a route. If my original hope was to find a supporter in each county to actually go down, and I would give the books to the supporter, and the supporter would go deliver to the sheriff, so that there is actual rapport built locally between the people, between the supporter and their elected official, the sheriff. Now, of course, not everyone has the boldness as I do to just walk into every sheriff office, so we didn't find people in every county to do that. So if the sheriff office is close enough to my route, I just detour a little bit and go stop in the sheriff and say hi to him and introduce myself and say, you know, I'm a member of this Ron Paul revolution that the DHS has slandered, and I'm here to say that I am not a domestic enemy, and neither are any of my friends. We are part of a revolution, but we intend on keeping it to be a peaceful revolution. And the way to make sure it's a peaceful revolution is that our elected officials, you, sir, who are on the front line of this battle between it's a battle between the federal government and the state government. It's a battle between local control and central control. So I just explained that to the sheriffs and explained why I'm bringing the materials I'm bringing. I bring the Campaign for Liberty was kind enough to donate 200 revolution manifestos, and I've been delivering the manifesto to explain the background of what inspired the grassroots.
By Ron Paul, the book by Ron Paul.
By Ron Paul. And I bring them a copy of a DVD by Dr. Edwin Vieira about returning the power of the purse and the sword, which talks about returning to a sound monetary system and protecting that sound monetary system by the reinstating the constitutional state-regulated militia, which the sheriffs have been surprisingly receptive to the idea of rebuilding the constitutional state-regulated militia.
Well, tell me, how many sheriff's offices have you stopped in? You know, 5, 50? I mean,
oh, no, 60 or so.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
60? Well, okay, let's do this. Out of the 60, let's give me kind of a percentage, you know, what kind of reception you're getting them. You know, they've all been, you know, polite, or are they, you know, they're confiscating your bike? I mean, what are they doing, and what kind of response they have to what you say?
They've all been polite. In the whole time, there's only been one deputy who, when he saw the name Ron Paul, I could see him shut down. I could just see him shut down, and suddenly it was like, okay, well, you know, leave the books here, and I'll pass them on. But other than that, the sheriff, the people I've been talking to have been very receptive to the idea of a person coming out and defending their honor. I mean, there's the honor of myself, because I was slandered by the DHS report, and the honor of the troops who have been slandered, even though they have done nothing. I mean, I have spoken out against the government. Yes, I have, challenged the establishment to back up their words. So I can see them, you know, wanting to slander me, but the slandering of the sheriff, the slandering of the troops, that's just too much.
You know, tell me about your actual ride. I mean, you're traveling across Arizona, because there aren't other roads. I mean, if you're going to go from one side to the other side, you're on the interstate, you know. And I've seen you as we left Santa Fe and we went up for the Freedom Fest in Las Vegas. I mean, we're going back here, get a good night's sleep, get back on the road. There you are again. We pass you. We stop. Hey, what's up? You know, you guys, I mean, this is a a job. I mean, you're out there in the heat doing this, and now it's 100 and something degrees. How do you physically survive this? I don't even understand how you're able to do it.
Well, the, now to give a little clarification, on the day that I for 2 days, I stood in Death Valley, and the temperature on the side of the road was breaking 150 degrees.
150?
150. The temperature in the shade was 130. We recorded it at 130 in the shade. And the friend who's traveling with me here, an Oath Keeper, the national liaison for Oath Keepers, Dave Freeman, is traveling with me through the Nevada desert. He decided that it was a bit too dangerous for a man to go out alone, so he took time away from his family and has been accompanying me across the desert.
How is he accompanying you? Is he riding with you?
He's got a GMC one-ton truck.
Ah, cheater. Okay, well, that's very nice. I appreciate somebody's doing that. Okay, so tell me, you get on your bike and you start going across Death Valley, and I mean, what's going through your mind? Do you listen to music? Do you talk? Do you read a book? I mean, what are you doing?
It's the one thing, you know, I've never been a cyclist. I don't particularly even enjoy cycling. I never owned a road bike before this. I'd owned a bike as a kid, but I had never really ridden a bike. So it's not nothing I would do as a pastime, but it is very effective in what I'm trying to do in getting people's attention. I make a spectacle of myself and people are curious, so they come up and ask me. So it's very effective. But one thing I do like about pedaling a bike through the middle of nowhere is it gives me a chance away from all the noise on the internet, away from all the, you know, everything that's going on all the time. It can be a bit overwhelming at times, and it doesn't give us a chance to really sit back and think about where we're going, where we've been, and where we need to go. So I use the time to just meditate. I guess it could be called Zen in the art of bicycle pedaling.
You know, tell me about that. I mean, you know, Forrest Gump kept running back and forth across the United States. I mean, how far are you anywhere, man? You got it going on. And he goes, man, I think I'll go home now. So I'm just, you know, at least you got a goal. You're going to go to Alcatraz from Freedom to Fascism. You're going from Ellis Island or Statue of Liberty, Liberty Island there. You're going to Alcatraz from Freedom to Fascism. I think it's an excellent idea. You're stopping at over 60 sheriff's departments already, handing them out books and information and going, hey, when you have your little sheriff meetings, you know, all you sheriffs get together and everybody, you know, there's this guy, you know, and he's all over the internet, lots of YouTubes, came across just to tell you what's what. You got supporters across the country doing this. We're tracking everything. And I'm telling you, it's been very effective, and I appreciate what you're doing. But I still want to hear, you are going how many hours in 115 plus 50 freaking, oh my goodness, degrees, that you're, and you're on this asphalt too. Across the desert, it's just got to bake within the first 4 or 5 feet of the ground. It has to cook your toes or something. How are you physically able to do it? What is your secret?
Well, what I've done is, and when I was in Missouri, I started, well, for one, I acclimated to the heat through Oklahoma. Oklahoma was brutally hot with the
humidity.
So I started acclimating, and then through Arizona, I acclimated some more, and so that helped.
So by the time you get through Death Valley, you're a lizard?
Yeah, exactly. But what I did was I went and bought myself a cotton long sleeve white dress shirt. It fits loosely. And that keeps me cool. I got a white hat, and I keep a thin towel underneath the white hat, and I keep that moist. So I'm always wetting my head so that, and because of the white hat on top, it doesn't evaporate that quick. That's the secret of having a white long sleeve shirt. Also, is that your body is always sweating, but it evaporates so quick you don't realize it. So by keeping a white fabric over it, it allows that moisture to stay on your skin that much longer, which helps to cool you.
Oh, so you're Lawrence of Arabia.
Lawrence of Arabia. I was going to put a coffee on, or however you say that word, the Arab headdress on. My mother was actually hoping to see the picture, but I didn't really understand the technology as well as this. The simple hat with the towel does the same thing. And And I don't look like an Arab passing through the desert.
Yeah, somebody, a truck driver might just, you know, open the right door.
Exactly.
You know, so the thing is that, you know, what kind of respect have you been getting on the road? I mean, have people have been pretty supportive, or they just ignore you, or have there been any dangers?
No, I think I've only gotten, I'm up to four not interested. Now, I've talked to thousands of people. I stop and talk. If there's a person mowing the lawn, if there's a person at a gas pump, if there's a person, if I see somebody within my reach, I will pedal over to them and say, hi, you know, I'm pedaling this bicycle from the Statue of Liberty to Alcatraz, because that's how I think this country's going. And that's a great icebreaker. And then I say, you know, I'd like to leave you with some information. I have some information here, and these people actually have solutions. And once I say the word solutions, people are a lot more interested. You know, people generally want to be left alone. They don't want to give too much thought to this stuff. They want to just raise their kids and you know, have their life. They don't really want to be concerned. The majority of people don't want to really be concerned with the actions of government and the actions of outside of their own sphere. So everybody realizes that there's some major problems going on in this country. And so when you use the word solutions, that's something that they can key on. It's okay, this guy's not just going to sit here and tell me about all the problems we got. Everybody knows we got problems. This guy's got solutions.
Freedom's the answer. What's the
Freedom
question?
Is the answer.
So, you know, and you've done a great job at this, Mike. I wish you well, and, you know, thank the gentleman for making sure that you're not roadkill, you know, going across a desert in Nevada. And it's just, it's phenomenal to me you're being able to do this, because just to walk to my car in 115 here is like, you know, health threatening. And I just, you know, I'm glad we were able to give you a lot of attention and support as you came through the Southwest here. And you keep up the good work, man. Our prayers and our attention are with you. And we're making sure we're tracking on freedomsphoenix.com. And we do it. And yours is libertyrider.com, right?
Yes, it is, sir.
All right, thanks. You know, we'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. And our thanks and prayers go out to Mike Maresco. We'll see you in a little bit.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
In constant sorrow through his day, I am the man of constant sorrow. Seen trouble all my day.
Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and you won't have to go through the sorrow. It's all a state of mind. And, you know, this stuff, you know, I used to say a lot, I go, you know, it's not going to happen all at once. You know, there's going to be plenty of signs. You're going to see it. It's not going to happen all at once, but it is going to happen overnight. Boom. You're going to wake up next day and boom. I mean, boom, boom. Just, you know, what happened? And you're not going to know what happened. We're here to help you know what happened. You know, do not be caught unaware, because all of a sudden, you know, I need to stock up on toilet paper. Oh, there is none. Selling Ernie's attic, ready to barter. So this is the kind of thing that we were trying to help you with. We want to let you know, and there are people out there fighting. We're going to be bringing people in that have been engaged in this battle for your mind a long time ago. We're just trying to help you free your mind. What you do with it, that's up to you. Once you, you know, get unplugged, you're just so manipulated by everything. You know, I still want to emphasize, you guys go to freedomsphoenix.com, and you'll see in the top navigation bar where it says special editions. You go to special editions, you'll see Ernie's favorites. You go to Ernie's favorites in there, and it's a Freedom's Phoenix, just like the other one, but I just get to put what I want up there. And everybody else gets to do what they want on the main site. I get mine. Mine. And what happens is you go there, and these are some of the things I think you should watch, and one of those is Century of the Self. You watch that, and you will see how you have been plugged in. It had a big impact on Thomas. What did you think of that?
I prop that video as much as I can. It's just absolutely amazing. about how these the advertisers and basically the government uses advertising to program your subconscious mind without you even knowing what's going on until you like become awake and you're like, oh wow, they're talking to my subconscious mind. It's like when you watch the news, everything they do is pre-framed. They tell you how to think about it, and then they show you the news, and then they say, well, you can make up your own opinion, but we've already told you what to think.
Yeah, no. It's that's why they call it programming. Television, radio programming. It's you know, it's so out in the open. But once you get your mind wrapped around certain tools of just how to think, you know, it's new who, what, when, where, why, how. I mean, but I tell you the one thing that you will never get enough of. You go on talk radio and so on, nobody ever asks why. Why is just, it's evaporated from our culture. You know, that's the first thing I go, oh, okay, cool. Why'd they do that? Well, we talk about why. They just did it, and it's bad. And we got to have a reaction, and we got to pass a law, and we got to go get and bomb and strafe and this and whatever and be. And the biggest thing we got to be, I'll tell you one thing we got to be. The first thing we got to be afeared. Are you afeared enough? We got to get you afeared first. Yeehaw! Oh, give me a gun. Let's go get them. You know, and I'm going, yeah, you can give me the gun, but I don't got to go anywhere with it, do I? I mean, can I not? Can I? I mean, what do I have to do? Can I just be unplugged? Can I be informed? Can I start to make sure that myself, my family, my loved ones, that they survive this thing? That's all I want. I want to be able to survive it. I want to be able to raise my children, enjoy my grandchildren, go into the coming decades, you know, relatively left alone. But that's not going to happen as long as we have, I don't know, any government. I mean, you know, heck, if I got to choose between anarchy and what we got now, that's, is it really that hard a choice? I'm just not that afraid. And the people, they go, you're just an anarchist. What are you so afraid of? The only thing that's ever bothered me is a government. nothing else. They'll say it's something else, and you need them there to protect me from it, but they're lying. Stop. Free your mind. We'll see you tomorrow.